On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, massive victories for Newark Rugby Club and for Newark Flowserve, and the first live interview given by the new Newark Town Manager. Of course, it is the weekend wrap. And before we go to the headlines, we are going to catch it with Damo Parkinson, who we've pulled out of a meeting, no less, to talk to us. Damo, welcome to Radio Newark. Welcome to Newark Town.
Thank you, Mick.
Some would say it's a challenge. Some would say it's a poison chalice. How do you look at it?
An exciting opportunity. I've obviously, a lot of people know I was at Lincoln Moorlands previously, and I would say that was probably in a lot worse place. I learned a lot of lessons back then, so no, just a really exciting opportunity with a club that's obviously soon moving back into Newark.
And the ones of us that can remember you at Lincoln Moorlands will be expecting a repeat of what you achieved there, because that was nothing short of an actual miracle to even keep the club going, yet alone improve on the results. How much have you missed the management? Because it was hard work last time out.
Yeah, I enjoyed getting my time back, because people think management's dead easy. But anyone that's done it, you're on the phone 7 days a week. You're constantly speaking to players, speaking to clubs, speaking to committee members. So it is almost a full-time job and a thankless task sometimes. But I miss the thing I miss most is the changing room and match days. I started to really miss it probably 2 years ago, but waited for the right opportunity.
Is the real reason you've left Flowserve, Damo, because you owe me so many coffees?
only one, Tone.
It's the fact you won't get Tony buying them. Exciting times, though, for Newark Town, because the dream of actually playing in Newark has coincided with you taking over.
Yeah. Obviously, we're still unsure of the date that we're going in. But yeah, quite exciting. Obviously, there's a couple of games, Christmas and New Year, and then a few in January. This is exciting. Look, they used to get quite a few at Collingham in the early days, but obviously with Flowserve going so well, people are able to stay in the town and watch football. So hopefully when we get back into Newark, we'll see an increase in people coming down and watching. Obviously, if we can start getting some wins.
I think you've only played about three or four home matches, Newark Town has. So the second half of the season is going to be predominantly played at your new home. And actually, the home record, your two victories have come so far this season at home. What personnel-wise are you hoping to have? Do you expect to keep the nucleus of the team that's there? Because as we all know, in amateur football, players tend to play for managers.
Yeah. What I'd like to, obviously, we're training Wednesday 7 till 9 on the new site in Elm Avenue, and all the existing players will hopefully be there. There'll also be some new faces that I've already spoke to, but anyone else that wants to come and have a go, we'll have a look at anyone. I'm fairly fair. I'm not just a manager, I'm a coach, so I like to think I can make players better as well as manage a team. And everyone will get a fair crack. I've seen some games this season already, but obviously, there's, like you say, some players play for certain managers, some players won't. Honestly, everyone that comes down will get a fair shot.
I've always argued, Damo, and people know what I've always argued, that it's very difficult to keep two teams in Newark playing at the same step seven level. Yeah. Flowserve have moved up a level now. Does that make it easier for Newark Town?
Obviously, I've been involved with Flowserve this year since the start of the season. And to be fair, we're not competing with Flowserve anymore. Fantastic setup, great management team, best changing room I've ever been in by an absolute country mile. And obviously, they're very ambitious, which we are as well. But honestly, we're not competing with them anymore. So it's not two step seven clubs anymore. There's a step six club that will probably be step five. And then there's us that are a step seven club.
And for the sake of Newark football, what you've just said, that needs to sink in with everybody, doesn't it?
Yeah. Obviously, what we are competing for is people coming, but hopefully from next season, we can almost do what Forest County do. So we're at home and they're away, you know. Because I think what it has shown is people want to watch local Saturday football, aren't bothered about going to, you know, Championship and spending all that money. So if Flowserve can continue to provide exciting matches, we can provide exciting matches that don't clash. I think that's the only competition, is getting people to the games and watching. But if we're both providing decent football, people will come and watch.
We look forward to it, Damo. I know you're in a meeting, so I'm going to let you go. Congratulations from both Tony and myself and everybody in your sport. It's lovely to see you back in management, and we're all hoping and praying that you can do for the Blues what you did for Moorlands, turn the club around, get them winning again, and get some success there. And we're going to be talking to you in the new year on a regular basis.
Thank you.
Thanks, Damo.
Good luck, mate.
Thanks. Bye. Damo Parkinson, then, the new manager of Newark Town Football Club. So let's do this. And as you've just heard live on Radio Newark Sport, Damo Parkinson is the latest man to take up the challenge of rejuvenating the fortunes of Newark Town. Newark Rugby Club came from behind to beat the noisy neighbours in a league match at Kelham Road for the first time. The whitewash was crossed no less than six times in a frantic second half. The referee only seeing one try. More from Rob on that one later. Will he get off the fence? Newark Flowserve take a giant step towards step five football with a win at Eastwood, who themselves had been on a nine-match unbeaten run. Sam Agar and an own goal. I'll ask Sam Agar when I see him if it was his or not. Doing the damage and taking the works to the top of the table. Newark Hockey Club had a winless weekend, but the performances deserve more. Paul Halfpenny fills in the details at 7:45. The Premier League needs video assistant referees now, Newcastle boss Rafa Benitez has said after Wolves scored a dramatic stoppage time winner against the 10-man side. Or better still, just get rid of Mike Dean, a referee who is always looking to be the star of the show. Newspapers are helping to fuel racism in the ways in which they portray young black footballers, says Manchester City forward Raheem Sterling. It comes after Sterling faced alleged racial abuse from Chelsea fans during City's 2-0 defeat at Stamford Bridge on Saturday. Chelsea and the Metropolitan Police are investigating those allegations, and the breaking news is that Chelsea have actually suspended fans for that alleged abuse. And finally, England cricket captain Joe Root has signed a three-year contract with County Championship Yorkshire. The 27-year-old from Sheffield is a product of the county's academy. It's an opportunity not just to perform on the field, but offer as much as I can to the rest of the group, Root has told the Yorkshire website. Three-year contract? He'll probably play a couple of one-day games for his county. So the real reason Damo's gone to Newark Town is he owes you for a coffee.
A coffee?
All right, lots of coffees.
Right.
It's yes, it's up, don't panic.
I just thought that Demo might have done a deal with you and you were keeping the fader down, you know. It must be at least gallons, at the very least.
When he was at Moorlands, he actually did a cracking job.
Hmm.
And I'm not knocking in any way, shape or form the job that Dewey Chappell has just done, because he took over a ship that has basically sunk with an Italian captain waving, let me off. And
the Italian captain is usually off before the crew, isn't
he? He took him off the bottom of the table last season. And as I said, they've only had three home games out of about 13 matches. So there's a lot of home football to be played, and that's when they're the strongest. But Newark Town have decided it's time for a change, and that's their prerogative. I think Damo is a good choice.
I do, because when I was fortunate enough to get involved with local football. Damo was a key member of our squad, playing squad, at RHPA. So I've known him for a number of years through football. We've always got on famously well, and I wish him nothing but the best. And that goes for the club as well, you know. It was very good to hear Damo say that Newark Town are not competing with Newark Flowserve these days.
But just to interrupt, he knows that. We know that. The people out there have also got to realise that no longer is it a level playing field.
No, I mean, Newark Flowserve's last match was an 11-0 defeat. You know, Flowserve's last match was...
Newark Flowserve's last match was 11-0 defeat.
Sorry, Newark Town's last game was an 11-0 defeat. Flowserve's last match was that remarkable game at Eastwood on Saturday.
So it's not a level playing field. And
it's
I
not.
Think this may do Newark the world of good, because they're not chasing the same players who are playing for Flowserve's first team anymore. Whereas in previous seasons, it was ping-pong.
People disagree with me when I say, and I know you're of the same opinion, that the town cannot put out two teams
on the same level.
On the same level on a Saturday. And the fact that, you know, we are at the level we are, and Newark Town are at the level we are, you know, it's... If Flowserve don't have a game, you know, that I'm in a difficult position, because the Flowserve reserves will say, well, come and watch us then. But you know, it's Forest and County have done it well in Nottingham over the years. In fact, Notts County used to be the biggest, didn't they? And, you know, going back a great number of years. But, you know, we can do it in Newark, providing that people realise the two aren't competing.
People can go and watch Flowserve one. If the respective leagues get it right and work together, which will be novel, as Damo says, you know, you can go to Flowserve one week and the Sports Village the next week. Why not?
Yeah.
It's all Newark football.
And it is, yeah.
And we do. We wish them both well. A couple of stories before we go to Craig. Collingham got called off at the weekend. They got waterlogged, so they didn't have a game. So your favourite Yorkshire manager's having a rest tonight.
Well, that means he can have a longer shower, doesn't it?
It doesn't mean he can have a longer shower. A couple of stories from the weekend, and obviously the Raheem Sterling one. Comments.
People say that racism is not acceptable these days. When was it? When was it ever acceptable to shout things at a person because of the colour of his skin? What offended me most was on Match of the Day, and they blanked out the faces or blurred the faces of the Chelsea fans who were yelling whatever they were at Raheem.
Why?
Exactly. Why did they? Shame them. You know, I'm pleased that Chelsea have taken action that you were saying at the start of the show. But, I mean, what mentality do people have that they can do that to somebody, to a fellow human being? I mean, that is just rubbish. But I agree with
Raheem. And actually, one of the best players in the world.
Yeah, I agree with Raheem Sterling completely in what he says about the press, that if a black lad buys a house, he's being flash with his money, and if a white lad buys the same house, he's being careful. Too right. And what he said has got great support throughout the football community. And so it should.
Let's just see if Chelsea... I mean, OK, we are learning now that Chelsea have suspended fans, but, you know, they've got to do a little bit more than that. Chelsea's really got to come out strong here, because they have got a bit of a record.
Well, it's endemic throughout the game. I don't see why people should feel they can say unacceptable things unless they're doing so in an unacceptable community, you know, and it's just bang out of order.
Somebody has got to.
I heard something on the radio tonight on the way here that at Leicester City, you know, like sort of somebody shouts something next to you, and you stand a very good chance if somebody's thick enough to shout things like that, you stand a very good chance of getting a punch in the mouth if you, you know, say, oh, mate, you're bang out of order there. What are you doing? That then you're putting yourself in danger. Apparently, nearly said Filbert Street then, apparently the King Power Stadium, they've got notices all over that you can actually text a steward and give your seat number, and that way you don't get into trouble, but the steward knows to come down and collar the idiot next to you.
That's good.
I like the idea.
I like that.
That's spot on.
No, I do like that. To change the subject completely, Harry Redknapp's King of the Jungle.
Did you see Sandra?
Yes.
Now, when you've got somebody who looks like Sandra and someone looks like Harry, how the hell did they produce Jamie?
The best comment...
I liked Emily anyway.
The best comment I've heard all day about that is Harry Redknapp, King of the Jungle, and it proves once and for all you have to leave Tottenham to win a trophy. Which I must admit, I had to stop the car and write it down.
Lovely.
I thought that was just about spot on.
But, I mean, Harry knew nothing about the programme.
Before. He expected a burger bar to be popped around the back.
Before he went on it. But Lucy, my wife, knew nothing about Harry before he went on. And like a lot of the ladies watching the programme, immediately fell in love with him. You know, I mean, it just came across superbly.
You can see why all the footballers that played for him loved him.
Oh, yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Really.
And the lovely thing was that the young lad, the young lad off Hollyoaks got on with him just as well as Noel Edmonds did. And that is his secret as a manager.
What's Hollyoaks?
I don't know.
Okay.
But my daughter watches it
right now.
And anyway, so, I mean, like, he gets on with people of all generations, and that's a great gift for in a dressing room.
Finally, big thing, Joe Root signed a new three-year contract to Yorkshire. He's only going to play a game a season. It's a waste of time.
He's not signed a three-year contract. He's signed for three games, hasn't he?
Well, yeah. It's a waste of Yorkshire's money, quite frankly.
Yeah. But
I tell you what, if I was a member at Yorkshire or Nottinghamshire or any other of these clubs that supplied international cricketers, I would begrudge paying any money. I really would.
Yeah, but it's I agree.
You sign a season ticket in Manchester City, and by the way, Sterling's going to play for you twice this season.
But in cricket, I agree with a central contract system because it has made the national side stronger. So you've got that side of it as well. But
there are more games they could play.
But, you know, the...
When I used to watch cricket, if you was a 12th man for England, you was released at 8 o'clock in the morning, you drove up to Nottingham and played, even if you didn't arrive till dinner time.
In your... When you started out, nobody drove, Mick. They got on a horse.
Cricket was proper cricket. Right. Somebody who's on a central contract at Lowfields is, of course, Craig Roach. And he is who we're going to talk to next. I've got down a trip to Eastwood as potentially the banana skin in Flowserve's serene progress to the top of the East Midlands Counties League. And they went, they conquered, and they come back with 3 points. So Craig Roach must be a very happy manager. Craig, good evening.
Good evening, Mick. Good evening. Yeah, I'm very happy.
You really must be, because that was a cracking result. I mean, obviously I wasn't there. I was watching Aqua Rugby at Kelham Road. You was almost... Well, he was very thankful for a start that he was on a plastic pitch.
Yeah, in the end, like I say, I'm not a fan of the plastic pitches, personally. I think it's an advantage for the home side, of course. I've been used to it, but like you say, it was a godsend with the weather that came down on Saturday. A lot of games getting abandoned at half-time.
Talk us through the game then, because I say, on paper, this looked tough.
Yes, very good side, Eastwood. We had a great result against them at home earlier on. We beat them 4-1. Since that game, you know, they've gone unbeaten. I think it was in 9 games, perhaps, and 2 of them they beat Quorn and Ilkeston in the VAR. So, you know, they proved that what a good side they are. And they've not lost many games at home, so it was a daunting task. But, you know, again, the lads pulled it out of the bag. And they was completely dominant for 90 minutes, and the scoreline really didn't reflect. The game was far better than that. Another day we could have come out 6 or 7-1 winners, and anything we care about then is they obviously getting 3 points. But yeah, it was another good day for us.
That does put you top of the table. Before I talk about that, there's a bit of a dispute on the goal scorers here, because initially the official Newark Flowserve Twitter feed had both goals going down to Sam Agar. I am told now that one of them may have been an own goal. I'm keeping an open judgment on this, and I think we ought to put it to Mr. Agar, was it his goal or not? I think I know what the answer might be, though.
Well, I know what Sam's answer would be. it was two goals for Sam, as far as I'm concerned. You know, the way I look at the own goal rule is, if it's off target and it deflects and goes in, it's an own goal. But it was on target, took a deflection, did help it, wrong foot the keeper, don't get me wrong. You know, he's got a good strike off, and you know, it's gone in. He's wrong footed the keeper, but anyway, I'm not bothered who gets the goals. His name's on the sheet. I'm just bothered about them 3 points.
I'm going to give it to Sam because I want him to come on this show in the new year. Yeah. It's going to be nice to him.
He should have had six. So.
Oh, right. Oh, so he's not getting all the plaudits then.
No, we should have had six. Yeah.
That puts you on top of the table. Okay, it's turned around a bit because now Selston have the game in hand, and this big game is still to come, but that's still a long way off yet. Pressures of being top of the table.
Yep, like I say, we're sat table in a way by default, I suppose, because they got the bang in at half time. It might have done them a favour because there was pegged 2-2 against Kimberley. But we'd rather have points in the bag and on the board. You know, we won't look at positions, and we just keep taking every game as it comes. Try and get as many points posted and see where we sit at the end of the season.
And everybody's now sort of just looking at Selston, but actually, between now and Christmas, you've got three away matches.
Yeah. We'll be saying that everyone's been looking at the Selston game for a long time. We haven't. There's no point us looking to beat Selston if we lose the next three. They'll be away from us, considering they, obviously if they win their games in the meantime as well. So, we've got Gedlin Saturday, picked up a good result against Prims.
That's two on the bounce for them, isn't it? They've turned it around a bit.
Yeah, they beat Collingham, which is improving. It's no mean feat in the cup. And now they beat Prims 3-1 on Saturday. So, they'll be going. They play Eastwood tomorrow night, so it'll be interesting to see how they go. But Saturday, obviously, they'll be looking to get more points on the board against us.
And then Tuesday, it's Belper.
Wednesday. 19th, away at Bulper. So busy week, and then away to Hino, which again is not an easy place to go.
So will you all be stopping in a hotel then between the Bulper and Hino matches?
On the Hino game we are, but not in between. We're out on the Christmas tour after the Hino game, so we're stopping out that night.
You will all get back in time for the Selston match, won't you?
I hope so. The couple might be dubious, but
two more quick questions. I did notice a new team on a new name on the team sheet, Chris Richards. Tell me all about Chris Richards, please.
Yeah, Chris is coming for us at left back. Obviously, Will got to sending off previous week at Stapleford, so faces a 3-match ban. We'd seen Chris playing out at Radcliffe when we did a bit of research on him. Turned out he'd been released from Burton Albion a couple of years ago, and he's since played at Colville and Gresley, and then he had a bit of period of inactivity. Just looks like he's been playing as and when he likes, when it suited him at Radcliffe. And he was just sitting there waiting, really wondering what he was going to do, and when we made contact with him, he jumped at it, and it was a bit of a risk on Saturday, sticking him straight in. We had a quick look at him in training on Tuesday. We went with it, and he had a fantastic game. He was a real good lad.
Bradley and Kieran Wells. Now, there's two ways of looking at this, isn't it? You can look at the fact that Brad came in and scored you three goals in two matches, including two vastly important goals at Sherwood, or you can say that both of the brothers have used Flowserve and Sherwood as a stepping stone between Mansfield, who probably wouldn't have wanted him to go to Spalding, and Spalding.
Maybe so. I'm not whatever their prerogative was is up to them. As far as we're concerned, he's done us a job in a period where we needed some more bodies in up front when we were struggling with injuries. We wish Brad his best on his move. No hard feelings from us. We didn't have to drop anyone to pull him in. He's filled in while we've had Tizer and Kingy out injured. Both of them to come back in on Saturday, fresh from injuries and fit to play now.
How it happened and the timing couldn't have been better for you, could it? And leads me to believe that the football gods are with you a little bit here.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. Yeah, the same thing with Shearwood. I think they've had the opportunity to sign Kieran once he's left Mansfield. They've brought him in, but I think it's slightly different for them. You know, they've dropped a lad to fit him into their squad, and now he's gone and left him, and they're a striker down now, whereas Bradley's just filled in for us while we were a bit short for a couple of weeks.
And Kingy and Tizer are both fighting fit again?
Yeah, it was first game back for him on Saturday, and they've both got through it well and trained, so yeah, they're back fit again, yeah.
Excellent. Craig, well, I always say it because every game seems to be important, and going to Gedling next is now taking on the importance of the Eastwood trip.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you say, regardless of the opponent, each game is as big for us. You know, I think when you're up that end of the table, pressure is just relentless, and regardless of who you're playing, it's a cup final for most people. When the players, they want to beat us. Obviously, you're up there to be shot at. So, you know, we just can't afford to slip up. If we want to stay up there, we've just got to keep winning.
And finally, a word for Damo, who's left Flowserve and took up the reins at Newark Town.
Yep, same again. What we did with Brad, we wish Damo well. You know, he's done a great job with us. It was a pleasure to work with him. The time he spent with us, you know, he'll always be welcome down at Flowserve. We wish him well. I think he's a great appointment for Newark. He'll certainly move him on in the right direction.
Excellent. Craig, three more points on Saturday, please, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
We'll do our best.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thanks, Craig. Bye. The thing I like about Craig and the thing I like about Flowserve is they are moving in the right direction, but they're doing it as good guys, not as Mr. Nasty. It's good guys, and they're wishing people well that's been to them and moved on, and if people don't see that they're going to, you know, Flowserve is a place for them, and they've gone, and they're wishing them well. And I do like that about the way that Gary Clark and Craig Roach and everybody at Flowserve work.
Yeah, I mean, they are good guys. You know, they're very nice people, and you don't often get that in football.
And we're going to talk to another very nice person, and one of the world's good guys. Rob Wardman's coming up next after a few results, localish matches. Southall City came from 3-1 down to beat Aslockton by the odd goal in 7 and maintained their 6-point lead at the top of the Not Senior League as they try and do what Flowserve did last season. Wouldn't that be absolutely fantastic? Flowserve one season and Southall the next. Flowserve reserves won again 5-2 against Magdala. The only problem is that 4 of the 5 sides above them also won, but they're still in that mix, and that's the main thing, and they're in form. Team that's not really in form, of course, are Grantham Town, and their poor run continued with a 1-1 draw at the Mears against Marine. But they are 6 points above the relegation zone, and a poor day for Kesteven Rugby Club. They couldn't raise the side to travel to Mansfield, and they ended up having to concede the match. Not a good day.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And this is the one and only Mr. Rob Wardman. Rob, a very happy Rob Wardman, I would assume, after Saturday.
I've dried out, yes, but happy, yeah.
I've christened it Aqua Rugby because I very rarely have seen sport take place in those conditions. In your vast memory of watching rugby, have you seen it any worse?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes?
yes. I think if it had continued raining another 10 minutes or so, we might have been in trouble. There was pools of water collecting at the end, but the players, fair play to the players, they stuck at it. I've seen far worse conditions, you know, for far worse pitches. So all credit to the players and the referee for getting through the game.
Now Newark, I mean, everybody knows the history of this. Since Southall joined Newark in that division, Newark hadn't beaten them in at Kelham Road, so that was hanging over Newark's head. Southwark at the bottom of the table, played 9, lost 9. You know, everybody, oh, is this the match that it's going to turn around? Newark brought a couple of, shall I say, golden oldies back into the team, and I'm sure Southwark chose them carefully as well. And Southwark started off the better, Rob.
They did, yes. No, they got ahead, didn't they, with their 2 penalty goals. And I must admit, the way we were playing in that first 20 minutes, we were maybe headless chickens is one phrase. We needed a bit more control, a bit more poise. There was plenty of pressure in that first quarter, but again, a bit of whitewash fever perhaps crept in as well into our play. And you mentioned the 2 golden oldies. I don't know whether they're golden oldies, but certainly it was probably the right pragmatic move to bring back Matt Clark at scrum half and Aloisi Wakalevu, Buddha to our Buddha, obviously, to everyone at Killam Road, long time centre is Buddha. He came back in as well. It probably shows the decision to bring those 2 players back. It probably shows how thin we are on the ground. With players wanting to push through into the first team.
Newark got a try just before half-time, and I think if they'd gone in 6-0 down at half-time, suddenly the complexion changed.
Yeah, that try, it rewarded us for the effort, didn't it, for the pressure we had created. I think Southwell surprised everybody by when Paul Richard landed that long penalty, his second penalty. But we deserved that try. That try came in the left corner again. It was an early break by Budder, who put Robbie Hunter-Shaw free on the left, and Mason Coolham, the prop, he finished off in the corner. So that was 6-5 half time. We turned around, and obviously by that stage the weather was really kicking in.
Monsoon season arrived.
It had arrived for about 20 minutes into it. It really lashed it down, and the water, the rain, and the wind was driving into the corner Newark were playing towards. Which helped us. And I think we played a bit more sensible in that second half. We kept the ball quite a bit shorter, and we played through the forwards, obviously, and dominated. And then, as you alluded to at the start of the programme, we obviously had a spate of claims for tries. And I was looking at that by that stage. I was absolutely dripping wet, so I'd move round that corner where we were attacking to get a bit of shelter from the terracing, etc. And a good 2 of those, perhaps 4, were tries. I was surprised that the referee didn't sort of follow the impetus of the game by moving to the blind side to see where we were attacking, but we didn't. He didn't move round with the ball. Easy to criticise, but certainly 2 of those, perhaps 4 or 5 chances, looked good. Good tries. Obviously, by that stage, the crowd and our coaches were going. How would we describe it? They were letting the referee know what they thought. Anyway,
it wasn't a football crowd. That's all I can say.
It got a bit frantic, and thankfully, again, out of the blue or out of the rain, Will Britton stepped up at. He probably came in an acting fly half. I can't remember now. He's just on the 22. And rather than set up another sort of forward rush or another attack, he kicked the ball a cross kick. And again, I was obstructed. My view was obstructed, but I'm told Billy Charles did catch the ball and did ground the ball fairly. But perhaps some of our Southall friends might dispute that. But the try was given. It was a heck of a great kick, particularly in the conditions. It surprised me that Will chose to opt for the cross kick in those.
I think it shocked Will a little bit when he actually thought about it.
so that sort of broke the deadlock, that try.
I mean, it was a wonderful, as it turns out, Rob, it was a wonderful, wonderful piece of vision.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have gone the other way, but that's one that he can live on for an awful long time. And somebody next to me said, "Are you sure he grounded it, sir?" to the referee, which I thought was, very good.
So no, and then we've got a late one. Third try came from Jed Chappell again. By that stage, we were, we had the game won, and Southwell were on the ropes or in the mud.
The scrums, they was going backwards.
So I think 20-6, fair result. We were a better team. We coped with the conditions. and we deserved the win. So, you know, well played, lads.
Do I understand that the leaders got beat?
They did, I think, yes, looking at the results. Melbourne, who had beaten us the previous week, they lost at home to Ashbourne, 20 points to 16. And we play Ashbourne next Saturday up in Derbyshire.
Perfect timing.
Yes. So 2:15 kickoff next Saturday, and we travel to Ashbourne, who are now third in the league, Market Raisin second. Melbourne still lead the table. They're 10 points clear of Raisin. We're eighth. We're down in eighth place, 25 points. So we're 16 points off Melbourne. So 3 to 4 wins off Melbourne.
And no problem. Catch that in the second half, because as your captain says, we can now play in mud.
Well, we certainly did last weekend, but as you know, it's never dull following Newark Rugby Club.
So. Oh, no, that's the excitement. It was, and I'll tell you what, I have been to lots of wonderful days out in sport, and that one on Saturday had everything.
No, there was a good atmosphere, a good crowd.
Somebody estimated about 500.
500. I don't know.
500. It's a cracking crowd.
You think it's more?
No, I think that's I don't know, but that is a brilliant effort for 500 people to turn out in those conditions.
Well, 200 people sat down for turkey lunch.
Very nice.
So perhaps the cynics, maybe one or two in the pub later on, said, you know, we've got more diners and players at the moment, but I don't know where my fellow cynic got that one from. But,
very quickly, Rob. We win things because we are a bit of a machine. We're efficient, and the cogs, the players who are part of that machine, tend to run pretty smoothly together. It certainly didn't feel like that for much of the day. That was a brutally honest assessment by Exeter's director of rugby after they lost in the Champions Cup to Gloucester, a result which almost certainly puts Exeter out of the competition. And that comes a week after they got beat by Harlequins, and they just about scraped past Bristol before then. Are the wheels coming off at Exeter?
I wouldn't say the wheels are coming off. They've always struggled in Europe. I think they've had maybe their third or fourth year in Europe now, so they've never quite transferred or transported the form they've had in our Premiership into Europe. They've had some very tough groups. Last year, I think they came up the first year they were in Europe. They're coming against Clermont Auvergne, the French very strong French team. And this season, they're up against Munster, Gloucester, Castro. The European leagues are always very hard, and if you don't make a good start, then you can slip away. I suppose it was a surprise they lost at home to Gloucester. They would expect now on form to beat Gloucester at Sandy Park. They play Gloucester again this Friday, but looking at the table, I can't quite see Exeter making up the ground now. But I wouldn't say that the wheels have come off. I think they're just perhaps struggling for a bit of consistency, but no, I expect them to be a full force in the Premiership.
Or are they doing what Newcastle's doing and putting all their eggs in the Champions Cup, even though they got beaten Edinburgh, and if they're not careful, they're going to find themselves in a mess at the wrong end of the table.
A lot of their forwards have been called up, perhaps they're getting a bit more, but the players are getting stretched in different ways, and, you know, playing more games, more. Henry Slade's just come back in, he's had a full, autumn with England. Jack Noel, the winger's injured again. They've had some players with Scotland and Wales. You know, they're getting looked at now, and some of the younger forwards are breaking into the England ranks. The prop forwards, the second row, the back, they've probably got four or five forwards very near the England squad now, or in the England squad. So that's more than they've had in previous seasons. So perhaps, you know, those players are getting used to, they can lie low if they're not in the international squads, pick and choose the games in the November games, when the Premiership plays a secondary competition, and then they come back full pelt for Europe. So perhaps their focus is not entirely on Exeter at the moment, and that's, you know, some of the leading players, because they've played so well over the last 2 or 3 years. Perhaps they're getting stretched a little bit. That's my sort of magnificent thought for the evening.
That's, I think we'll leave that with you, Rob.
I don't know where I plucked that one from.
Brilliant, Rob, as ever, a pleasure.
Let's get just other results. The under-14s and under-16s both won. And I'm told by my man in the Colts team, this is one of the great match reports, I just sent him a little text to get the result, that we've beaten Peterborough, but he's yet to give me the score. So there you go, it's a mystery. We did beat Peterborough, so, but I haven't got the score yet.
But we beat Peterborough, but how many did we beat Peterborough by?
I don't know, in this text. Game went well. We beat Peterborough. We were a little short against Outlaw. Was it a three-way little competition? I think there are two games. Good so, outing against Oundle and Peterborough. Beat Peterborough, lost by last minute. They had a little round robin. They beat Peterborough, lost to Oundle.
Breaking news here, you see.
There you go.
As it happened. Rob.
So it's 2:15 at Ashbourne next Saturday. Anyone wanting to get over there and follow Newark?
And you can tell us all about it afterwards.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Toodaloo.
Thanks, bye-bye. The wonderful Mr. Rob Wardman there with breaking news that the Colts lost at Arundel, but they beat Peterborough, and that's all that matters. And we go from the wonderful Rob Wardman to the equally wonderful Paul Halfpenny.
As ever,
we keep the best till last, you see, don't we? Paul Halfpenny joins us to talk hockey, and hockey slowly but surely is moving into a Christmas break, so he's only got three matches to talk about, but there's still lots to talk about. I went to watch the first half of the Hockey Ladies Wands against Lindum in the Cup yesterday, and we witnessed what looked like a fairly horrific injury to one of the Newark ladies. So let's start there, Paul, if we can. Good evening, by the way. Sorry. It didn't look very good for her. What happened, and how is she?
Oh, good evening, Mick. Katie, it was sort of quite an innocuous thing it happens quite a lot in hockey, funnily enough, where the ball just flies up off an object, whether it be a stick, whether it be a foot, and sadly went up into Katie's face and hit the bridge of her nose. I don't believe that the nose is broken, and I've not had an update today, but the skin was broken, and obviously being a head injury, it bled profusely. There was a lot of blood about. But she did leave the pitch and went to Grantham Hospital, and they struggled doing anything with it. They couldn't get the Steri-Strips to stick. So she was asked to go back again today. Like I said, I've not had an update, but I think it looked actually worse than what it was. It was quite a nasty deep cut, but thankfully that's all it was. Maybe have panda eyes in a couple of days.
That without sort of Katie in your defence, though, yours one down at the time, the defence sort of opened up straight after that, and it was 2-0.
Was it 1-0 there? I thought it was 0-0 when she went off.
That probably made it 1-0. I know the defence seemed to me to open up.
Yeah, we have the same problem with the ladies' twos. If anything happens to a lady called Anna Palfreman in the twos, twos tend to go to pieces. They'd like that rock behind them. And the same thing happened for the ones periodically. We had a quick reshuffle. The captain went from left-back to centre-back. And we just didn't look as settled as what we were. And when one goal went in, another quickly followed. But you missed an absolute treat of a second half, because we rallied to half time and we absolutely battered them second half. We really did. It was that bad. I thought their poor coach was going to have a... I thought we were going to have to get the CPR machine thing out to him at one point. He was just, oh dear. He was having palpitations, bless him, on the sideline. And with 5 minutes to go, they were taking the ball into the corner to waste time. It was really one-way traffic, and we did everything. We did actually put the ball in the back of the net, and the goal was awarded. But sadly, everybody saw the ball hit the back of Sarah Pass Seal, and the umpire didn't, but when she spoke with a colleague, he'd seen it and it was disallowed. But we'd really got them on the ropes. They were really, really scared, and they've won every game this season, every single game. I think it's the most worried they've ever been, and they play in a higher league than us, theoretically, but over in the East, and they've asked us for a pre-season, well, not pre-season, but before we get back into the league again, they've asked us for a friendly match to stop a few cobwebs, so we must have impressed them.
Must have done something right, but... So, talking off, you said three performances, one which you would rave about. Is that the performance you'd rave about, or is that half a performance?
Absolutely. I mean, I got the girls around at the end, because I won't see them again now till the new year, so, wish them happy Christmas. And basically, congratulate them on an amazing performance. I mean, we had two girls who've been playing regular second team who stepped up today, Lady Sinead Bradley being one of them. And they were absolutely awesome.
That I assume was why one of our MPs was there and not talking about Brexit then.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
right.
Correct. Yes, it was a very, very good performance. And sadly, Lyndon lost one of their players as well. She decided to, it was a bit of a melee in front of their goal, and she decided to tread on the ball. And obviously her ankle went over, and it looked very, very bad. That looked sort of ligament tears, and it looked, she couldn't walk.
Oh dear.
But yeah, it was a very, very good game to watch and a very good performance by New York.
So the other two performances then don't rank quite as highly?
No. I got there to watch the second half of the ladies' fourth game against South Notts in the Shield, Notts Shield. And to be perfectly honest with you, there's probably more organisation in the Brexit office than what there was on the pitch. Have these girls actually played hockey before? No, it wasn't the greatest. I know they can play better than that. They were playing, I mean, South Notts play at in a higher league, but they're not that good. And, you know, it was sad to see sort of Newark not competing, as I know they can do, and they have done in the last few weeks. To I think they finished the first half of the league, halfway up the league. So I know they can play better than that, but obviously a lot of youngsters in the side thinking more about Christmas, I think, than hockey.
More organisation in the Brexit hockey. I like that one. We've got to write that one down and use that one. We'll pinch that one.
That's fine.
That leaves us one match to go.
Yes, the ladies' twos. It was, again, they're playing a team that if they get promoted will be playing next season, I assume. And I really thought that they could come up with a win and get into the semi-finals of the Cup. But the first 20 minutes, Newark absolutely battered Manning. They really, really put some good chances together. Manning's goalkeeper was very solid, very good, very alert, and sadly they couldn't beat her. Even when Newark went 1-0 behind, you just thought, that's not a problem, they'll soon come back from that. But they didn't. Second half, it just deteriorated really, and I think one or two of the players came off a little bit dejected and disappointed in basically the team's performance. But at the end of the day, it's the Cup. We're focused very much on the leagues, and focused very much on A, keeping the first team where they are, and B, trying to get the second team promoted. So even though they lost, you know, it's just a good get together for the girls, a bit of a burnout, and basically to have a look at the opposition for next year, hopefully. I will say though, at this point, we were told after the game that the two very influential Manning players, the ones that made a difference, don't normally play for Manning. They're at university down south, and they just happen to be around.
So great.
That was all a bit disappointing.
Just what you need, yes.
Yeah.
Paul, you can join us again next week, because you can give us an half-term report next week. I think the over-35 ladies are playing, though, are they not?
I'm away all weekend. So I won't be there.
Some steam railway somewhere?
Well, sort of.
Ah.
I'm going to Thomasland.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes.
Grandad duties.
No, I'm just taking Sally. Yeah, of course, it's Grandad duties.
Brilliant. Just taking Sally. I love it. Paul, you can tell us all about that next weekend, next Monday night as well.
Will do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye. He's on form tonight, isn't he? More organisation in the Brexit office, and just taking Sally tomorrow night. Where
I'd just like to make it clear, I'm not laughing at Sally.
No, you're not.
No.
Tomorrow night, Mark Dobbs coming over after 4 years of the top man head honcho at the Rugby Club Girls. There's a big announcement to be made. Mark's going to come and talk about that tomorrow night. On Wednesday night, me and you are going to do the A to Z of Radio Newark Sport for 2018.
Are we?
Yes. Oh. In other words, we've got the alphabet, and I've, at great expense, as I've put a name or a sport or something against every single letter. You have got to give me your comments on that subject.
Have you worked out X yet?
Yes.
Have you?
Yes.
I better brush up on my xylophones.
It's not xylophone, oh, no.
Okay.
So, yes, we have done. And on Thursday night of this week, it's Golden Oldies time.
All right.
You like to sit there when we start reminiscing because you sort of enjoy taking a step back to when you was young and relatively fit.
I'm a Golden Oldie myself.
So I've got a couple of gentlemen coming in here on Thursday night who, I can remember one of them playing football, but I can't remember both of them playing football. One of them used to play as a fullback or winger for Ransom and Moles. The other one at one stage was signed on for Notts County. Eric and Billy Coombs are our guests. And Eric and Billy Coombs have been average football watchers for probably close on 50 years. And they've seen a lot of centre forwards at your beloved Flowserve. So the great Flowserve debate will start up again on Thursday night. Who is the best centre forward? It won't be Sam Agar if you keep taking goals off him, but who is the best centre forward they've ever had? We'll talk about that on Thursday night, and I'm going to make you wait till Thursday night before you even mention the word Flowserve again.
I spent the first half sitting next to Billy and Eric on Saturday at Eastwood, and very good company as well.
Well, you can enjoy an hour with them on Thursday night. So I think that might be, in fact, I'm convinced it's going to be cracking radio because it's great to look back. Eric played at Elm Avenue when there was a stand behind the goal and a stand at the side of the pitch. But you can't even remember that.
Yeah,
you can remember it.
I can, yeah.
When Elm Avenue was pristine. Anyway, that's for Thursday night. First up, Mark Dobb, and a look tomorrow night over the last 4 years of one of Newark Sport's greatest, greatest triumphs, the Newark Rugby Club Girls. And I'm not biased because they're not my favourite.